Dan Duran is here. We're all here. We're just having a little pre-show meeting about tonight's Kelsey's broadcast, which is a first for us. Not that we haven't done shows at Kelsey's and or taken our show on the road for many, many years, but we're actually going to try and do the show tonight. And I thought it was interesting. Interesting that you said you were excited about it. Please articulate.
Yeah.
No, because traditionally when we've done these road shows, we've involved musical guests in the show. And tonight we're not doing that. And it's always sort of tugged at me whether that's the right way to go, because we're usually like in a restaurant environment or, a venue of some sort where the music maybe doesn't transfer the best from the venue onto the podcast, which most people listen to. And I just thought, does it actually interrupt what people came to see us talk? So tonight we're just, we're not having that. So I'm excited to see how it feels. That's all.
Well, when you think about when we first used to do our show, I'm talking back in the horseshoe days where we would have nothing but performances at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe the music wasn't, you know, it transferred somehow, but it was also, we were broadcasting live on radio stations in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also the spirit of the holidays, etc. But you know what's happened in the 13 years? And remember, part of tonight's celebration mm-hmm. is the 13th anniversary of our podcast. Podcasting has changed the way we broadcast content, not just you and I and Dan, but the way everyone does, to the point where podcasts have now gone on the road to record their podcasts. Now, Smartless mm-hmm. aside, which is a big production with, you know, huge guests, but a lot of podcasts will do that. They'll go to a venue, the audience will come to see them record what they normally hear, and tonight, right. for the first time, we're going to try and put on an actual show. Yes, we're going to involve the audience. We'll tell you more about that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to try. We're going to have a couple of our regular guests. Ralph Ben-Murgy will be there. Bill Brio will be there. We're going to have a couple of little interactions with the different people. And Dan, of course, doing his news.
Yeah, you hit on it there when you said what we're going to do, the show that people hear all the time. And you know, long ago, we decided that the show on a daily basis, forget being in a venue or whatever, we would pull back from musical performances. Again, because often it didn't do the musician justice either. You know, just given the situation. So the show really hasn't involved that. So we take the show on the road. Why would it all of a sudden involve that? Is what I'm trying to say.
Dan, what were you going to say?
Is this the first time you've done two shows in one day?
You know what, Dan? You read my mind. I was going to ask you if your union will allow you to be on... will allow yes. you to do two shows in one day. And yeah. are you going to be charging us double your rate?
Yeah. My union knows nothing about this.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Because they wouldn't allow it.
Dan's on the down low. But if there was ever a place for broadcasters to hide, it's this program.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. We were just talking again before the program started to record the program. About now, girlfriend Lisa's going to be there.
Yeah.
Doll's going to be there. The WID will be there.
The what?
The WID, the woman I'm dating.
Oh, right.
Oh, is that? I didn't know we
I just started. I just made that up. I just made that up a few minutes ago.
Oh, that's the new. It's the new one. Okay, great.
The WID.
Yeah.
By the way. Part of tonight's show, we're going to do some Humble and Fred trivia.
Yes.
And I was thinking one of the questions, can you name all the girls or the women yeah. that Howard has been yeah. involved with? It's so funny. Started.
Because I was getting wrong. I'm not kidding you. I thought that would be a great question, except I don't want to embarrass the WID.
Well, this is what I mean. I'm thinking the latest one might feel a bit weird.
Yeah.
You know? we're all sitting there naming off this. Well, the show's only an hour.
That's right.
we run out of time. That's not true. Well, listen, since the show began, the podcast years, there's only been a couple. And this one is the third that I've... No, that's not true. She's the fourth, because there was the Mexican girl. I keep forgetting about her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You probably forgot about a few others.
No, no.
Well.
Yeah, but listen, there's been many others, you know, on a occasional basis, but there's only been four that I've actually started talking about on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, those were just trials.
Those were just, I was taking them out for a test drive.
10-day free trial.
That's right.
By the way, another thing we wanted to do that was shot down.
What was that?
I had asked people at Kelsey's, could, you know, we use the women's washroom so Dan could offer a showing, and they thought that's probably not a good idea. In poor test. You know what I mean? They'd be lined up all night and take the digital way off the show, and it just wouldn't be cool.
Yeah, we would have a sign, you've got to be this tall to ride the Dan Duran.
Okay.
Somebody just said, because we were talking, I've been playing little bits of the show that just took place during the podcast. And yes. Somebody, Brent Atkinson, just wrote saying, you should also pay homage to the Dan Duran weather jingle where you guys sang along to a piano tune, which we have, by the way. Love the show. Looking forward to seeing you guys at Kelsey's tonight. That's Brent from Waterloo. Now, we have played the Dan Duran weather Dan Duran. And we will be playing more of those type of things on this program tonight.
I have that, Dan. Yeah, here, which would be tomorrow if you're listening.
Yeah, we did a lot of that. I think last week when I found these jingles that the very talented Pete Cuneo put together.
Yeah,
you know, another thing we should do tonight, Frederick.
What is that?
I don't think we should shy away, because sometimes we're shy, you and I.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very.
I don't think we should shy away from spending some time talking about the 13 years of the podcast, because this is kind of the 13th, as I've said already, celebration. Mm-hmm. And when I say shy away, because sometimes when we're in front of people doing our show live, we tend to play to them versus playing to the tens of thousands that will listen to it on Thursday when we put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should talk about some of the things that have happened in the 13 years, aside from the stuff that will be trivia questions or trivia. Yeah, trivia questions.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Because there's been some crazy moments. Like, I keep thinking about, and again, this could be a question about having fucking... We should save the Frank Sinatra Jr. story for tonight. We should save the Oswald's widow story for tonight.
Okay.
You know, these could also be trivia.
I thought we had that tucked under trivia, but you just gave it away.
That was just a suggestion the other day when you and I were talking about trivia questions. But I don't think we should shy away from that, even though sometimes we're shy.
Sure.
Dan, absolutely. Do you have any recollection how long you've been on the podcast? I don't imagine you do.
No, I don't. It's been a few years.
Do you know that you've been on today?
Yeah, I know that.
Do you have recollection about that, that you were here today?
Mm-hmm. When did you get axed as the weatherman in Peterborough?
It was a layoff. It was a... I don't know.
Why is his internet doing
that? I don't remember.
That?
It was like... I don't know.
That's funny, you know. Because, like, 2000...
Okay, Dan, everybody's internet seems to be... Is it my internet? Because my internet is 5 out of 5. Now, he's frozen. You just froze.
To, Mojo, 2000. Fired in
okay, start again. Start again, because you froze. And you're freezing now. So he froze, and then you froze. So is it me?
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
How am I now?
You're fine. So what were you saying when Howard went to what?
Oh, no, no, no. I was just saying that Dan can't remember those dates. And I said 2001, you and I went to Mojo. 2003, we went to the Mix. 2008, or I got fired in 2005. 2008, I went to Peterborough, got fired in 2011. We started the podcast 2011. You know what I mean? I can remember all those dates just like Zumba.
Zumba.
Yeah. So well, I remember things happened. I just don't I don't Zumba those dates.
Yeah, like, but no, but listen, I can Zumba the dates. And
yeah.
Zumba.
Okay. Well, I know that I got to Peterborough in 2009.
Yeah.
And then I got my job at the radio station in 2010, I think. And that was 5 years. So 2015 and then 2 years. So 17, I was.
So you would have been starting to sniff around this 17, 18. All right.
Is that right?
I don't know. The thing is, did your participation really upped in 2020 Zumba because you could come on the show remotely? I don't remember. Right. I will say this. I can't Zumba the memory of Dan Duran hanging around the studio much. Do you know what I mean,
no,
Frederick?
I never did.
Like, not you were never around the 30th Avenue studio, but even this one, which we came to in 2016.
Yeah. No, he was living in Peterborough and working. How could he?
So maybe his participation didn't start until the 2020s when he could come on Zoom. Speaking of Zumba.
Right.
Must have been around there.
Well, that has to be. That has to be. We've just done. We've just deconstructed your participation on this
program.
So it's
like 4 years.
I can only imagine how riveting this is for the audience. Well, this is the kind. See, this is the kind of thing you're going to miss if you're not at Kelsey's tonight. And I will say this: unlike other times when we've collected emails, I hope everyone assumes if you've sent an email to Humble and Fred at Humble and Fred Radio, you're in. I've had to respond to a few people saying, can I get tickets? Am I? You're all in. Everybody's in. And it starts at, we're going to open the doors. The doors are open. It's a restaurant. But, around 6, we're not letting anyone in. But we're going to start recording around 7, 6:45, 7. We're going to shut it down around 8. There's going to be lots of fun. We'll tell you about that. But let's go ahead.
Let me make one more announcement.
Make an announcement.
Making an announcement. Humble and Fred's, okay, interesting all-Canadian ale will be available on tap for purchase.
Yeah.
Okay? So you'll be able to enjoy that. Everyone loves that beer. They really do.
Yeah.
And it will also be available for purchase in cans at the venue as well. So that's rather exciting, and we'd appreciate it if you bought some, because it helps the cause.
Yeah, we'll have the beer there, and it's all been cleared. It's all on the up and up. And Dan, I'm not sure if you heard Dan say it's a very good beer. And Dan is very particular when it comes to his funky beers.
Yeah, there's a few beers that I won't drink, and this one I do like when I see it.
Oh, that's right. He will refuse a beer.
Yeah, that's
interjection. Interjection.
Yes.
Dan is not. I know beer snobs that actually will not drink a beer. Some beers.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a guy up at the trailer a couple over. He's a bit of a beer snob, and he won't. You know, if you offer him a Miller Lite, he'd rather not. Dan, you will take a beer if it's free. You will take a beer. You'll take a Miller Lite. You'll take a Crag Canoe. You'd even take a Coors Light, which you hate, if it's free and there's nothing else around.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not that level of beer snob that you won't take.
Right. If it's a really hot day, there's no other beers that are being offered at Coors Light, and I would,
But interjection.
Interjection.
For that, yeah. Yeah.
Dan.
Let's just establish that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you're you are particular and discerning.
Except when it comes to paying for it.
Until you're not. I mean, you do. Yes. You're very principled until it inconveniences you. That's what we're trying to say. Anyway, we're very much looking forward to this evening's program, but we should start this morning's program because we're already 15 minutes into it.
This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Brampton facility featuring a prestigious pool, and from a trailer in the Carthage with the Danis Duranis bust. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Richard Bullis Zoom Theater, and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, our returning sponsor, Kelsey's Original Roadhouse, home of the Humble and Fred End of Summer 13th Anniversary Podcast Party tonight, and our newest sponsor, Ridley Funeral Home. And now, here are two men who want to package the non-confidence vote into a magic wand so they can win every argument. So be careful, they could non-confidence you, and I non-confidence you, and I non-confidence you. It's Humble and Fred.
Mike Boone just sent me a text on our group chat. The Dan Duran weather song was from Alex Pangman and recorded in April of 2020. So I think we've Sherlock Holmes that whole thing. So Dan Duran never really hit, your participation started once you could do it remotely.
Right.
And so you probably, once the pandemic hit, so we stopped broadcasting in this, in my house, in the house studio, in the Queensway studio.
Yes.
February of 2020. Mm-hmm. So then we started having you kind of hang out with us. And now it's blossomed into this massive participation.
From points around the world.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever, you know, just stop down and think about what the world would be like if there never had been a pandemic? I often think about that. I'd probably still be driving into the studio every day, or would have got to the point where I said, I'm not doing this anymore.
That's what I think of. Not so much. Yeah. When I think about the dynamic of the show, I think by this time, if there had been no pandemic, and, you know, some people say there wasn't, it was operated by the government. I've said this to people, that you probably would have, you know, gone away in the winter, as you do and as I have been able to do. And I would have either, you know, I would have just gotten guest Fred's, or we were talking about you doing it remotely anyway. We had had those conversations about you just staying in your house. And this was before Zoom, using Skype or something.
Well, I actually did it a couple of times, but I never really felt comfortable doing it. I felt like I shouldn't be doing it. There's something just didn't feel right. But when we were forced into it through the pandemic and, you know, we got, it just became comfortable, you know, on how handy or whatever the word is, Zoom was, just changed everything. But I even go beyond the show, like, you know, would we have had that, you know, that housing explosion, you know? The interest rate problem, the inflation issue, all those things. Who knows, eh? Who knows?
Well, it was an impressive hit in our, you know, in our pop psyche, and both financially, you know, medically, obviously, and then
yeah,
just in general, how everybody dealt with things, and then came back, and the rebound is.
And not to take this into a Trump space, but what I find fascinating about it, when I think about looking back at that time and how, you know, the biggest country, the most sort of biggest country in the world handled it the worst of almost any of the modern G7, G20 countries. 3,000 people at its peak in America, 3,000 people a day were dying, 9/11 every day. And yet the weirdest thing, in only four short years, none of that seems to stick to that administration. Because, you know, you talk a lot about how in the election cycle we're in now, how they're able to hang, again, stupidly, inflation and prices on current governments. Because we all experienced it. It all blew up because of the pandemic. Yet they're able to hang that on the Biden-Harris administration and the Trudeau administration and other governments around the world. Yet for some reason, the 3,000 deaths a day that Trump bungled doesn't seem to stick to him.
Well, nothing does. It doesn't. How he gets a free pass on so many things, you know, and you know, again, that whole theory that the first 2 years of any administration, you have to deal with the last 2 years of the previous administration. So if you just do that timeline, Trump was a mess. He ruined what Obama gave him. And then Biden had to deal with what Trump gave him. And now there's some, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, and Trump may fall right into that. But anyway, how many times do we have to say it? You just wish people would just do a little bit of research. But my God, it's...
But even the regular, you know, they call it the so-called mainstream media. Even the regular mainstream media, if you think about what happened in the 2 or 3 weeks after the Biden-Trump debate, even before that, for months, the mainstream media talking about the, I don't know if this is a word, the degeneration or the decline of Joe Biden's mental acuity. And then, of course, after the debate, it was all anyone talked about in the New York Times and the Toronto Star and all these mainstream papers. Forget what they were saying in the right wing. Everybody was talking about it. CNN was having roundtable discussions about the decline of his acuity. And yet, every day, the orange creature is becoming more cognitively fucked up. I ran out of the you know what I mean, Dan? You know, but cognitive decline is so apparent, and yet nobody seems to be talking about it in any way that this, in any way the same way. And this, back to your point about nothing sticks to the guy. He says shit in every time he opens his mouth that if it was Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, for some reason they would be attacking it. But
well,
they don't.
That's method to the madness. You just say so much stuff. Like, I know, it's just not fair. I mean, I've been thinking lately, and again, not to get too deep into this, but, you know, the sexual abuse rap and all the horrible things he said about Kamala and some of the statements that have been made, not only by him, but that party about women in general.
Yeah.
If you call yourself a man, how could you vote for that guy? How could you... Look yourself in the mirror. I am a man. I'm going to vote for that guy after all those things you've heard. And again, fuck policy, because it's all bullshit at the end of the day. It's all about character. Like, who are these people that just cling to him and give him the pass? You know, sometimes I read the comments on Fox News, and it's like people bring up the sexual abuse. It's like it never happened, or it's bullshit. Everything. You've made this point so many times, Howard. You know, he didn't. He's not responsible for any of it.
No.
34 felonies, all the things. He's not responsible for any of it. And if you read some of this stuff, there are people out there, part of the cult, that claim he isn't. It's all been sort of placed upon him for political reasons. It's just bizarre.
And there is there, and everything.
There's, there's got to be some genius to it. And here's what I mean. We all watched that debate, which is now a couple of weeks ago. We all watched it. And he was horrible. But from, like, just horrible. By any measure, by any metrics, he was awful and she was great. But he left the debate stage and went right to that spin room and immediately started talking about how great he did and how polls had already showed he was this 91% and 70. And then all he's done since then is talk about the moderators were rigged, ABC should lose its license, everyone's against him, and it's the same playbook. And yet, so now, a couple of weeks later, which should have been a disastrous, like, you know, I go back to Nixon. Nixon lost the opportunity for the presidency because his debate was universally panned in 1961 against Kennedy. But this man has spent weeks now, and it's now considered the truth that he, in his world, won that debate.
Well,
because he's the best debater is what he tells
strategy.
People.
You know, and again, and we've talked about, and, you know, I'm still convinced the seed of all the Trump devotion is racism. You don't have the people that talk about policies. They wouldn't know a policy if it slapped them in the side of the fucking head. It's all about racism and hate, and they love that. He enabled that. And it's the same thing with that debate. A Trumper would sit there and go, oh my, he just got his ass kicked. But then they hear him say, oh, I won that debate. So they feel confident now. Yeah, he won. He won. Yup, he said he won. It's true. He won. They follow him like, well, it is. It's a cult. There's no like there's no other explanation. How do you fall into that? How do you not look at something logically and say, yeah, I really like Trump, but he lost the debate. But
our society is just not set up for and our media environment and everything, just not set up to deal with somebody like Trump, because it's all been predicated on the desire to be accurate with facts. And then over this time that Trump's been there, he just lying is like a normal thing, and everybody sort of accepted that for some reason, that it's okay for him to do it, and then have started adopting, right, well, lying is a thing, and now there's no confidence in the media because now we can't trust anything because everybody's lying.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally, you know, all politicians, all stripes bend the truth. You know, they bend reality. They just do. It's part of the deal. But usually just on policy or history or whatever. What's different about this guy? Again, you know, it's eating the dogs and claiming that they're terrorizing cities, like blatant lies that actually hurt people directly. That's the sickening part, you know?
And, you know, as I've said this a couple times, by a couple, I mean a couple thousand times, like, we've all learned what gaslighting is. Like, at first it was like, oh, I've heard that term. And then over the last few years, we all get a real visceral sense of what gaslighting is, because he does it all the time. I won the debate. So that's gaslighting it. But to the point where, like, I saw something this morning, and he was talking about how she, Kamala Harris, is unable to articulate policy. But that's him. He's so unable to actually articulate anything that would help that poor country. She can, but he gets away with it because he gaslights her. He gaslights everything. I mean, that's what you were saying, Dan, about the acceptance of lying on a national level is gaslighting. Because it used to be people would talk about policy. They would say, well, my plan calls for this. Her plan calls for that. I think my plan's better because it will benefit people in the following ways. But he has no plan. You know, that point in the debate where he talked about healthcare and saying, well, after all these years, he still hasn't repealed or done, redesigned Obamacare. He said, well, we have a concept of a plan. Normally, that would be enough.
Yeah. And they're on her all the time, Kamala, about details with policy. Well, I saw him yesterday. He just stands up on the stage and he makes all these, we're going to cut your grocery bill in half.
Well, no, I know.
Okay, how? Can somebody say, oh, excuse me, how are you going to do that? But that's accepted from him for some reason.
Yeah, I know.
Like, as policy. Or he had a thing behind him yesterday that said corporate tax 15%, and then they come off the heels of it. That's impossible to put corporate tax at 15% at this point. The country simply could not afford it. But he says it, and people think it, and it comes out of his mouth.
No, I know.
It's great. And it's like, anyway.
You know, after the debate, there was two guys on Fox, Brit Hume and Neil Cavuto, who said this man just got his ass kicked.
Yes.
But the rest of them went along with the grift. I was just going to say, you know, there was Sean Hannity that night. Sean Hannity knows that man just lost the debate. But it's good business for Sean Hannity to go along with it.
Okay, a podcast, Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, I heard it yesterday.
Did you hear it yesterday?
Fantastic. You know, I thought of you.
He addressed that. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly,
Rush Limbaugh,
and how these guys, you know, failed at other things and then sort of fell into the right wing thing. Probably never really believed it, but you spout that stuff in certain regions of the United States, you become popular, and then all of a sudden, bingo, one day you may actually believe it, even though all the things you say are bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and what I loved about what Keith Olbermann said, the damage, you know, you have to realize the damage that Rush Limbaugh did to the country that he supposedly loved. Like, you know, damage they'll never recover from.
Yeah.
He was so fucking evil. And he was. He was an asshole.
Yeah, when I was listening,
there's another guy named Mark Levin.
Oh yeah,
and he was talking about the debate last week, and he said, I don't know what people are talking about. Here's what happened at the debate. Trump won because he was Donald Trump. Kamala Harris lost because she was Kamala Harris.
Oh, I know.
That's the way he looked. So it's like...
Yeah, I was thinking about you. I drove to Brantford yesterday for this 36-hole tournament yesterday. I was thinking about you in a couple... Yeah. I was thinking about you for a couple reasons. One, I was listening to the explanation of how those guys turned from sort of losers to fucking, you know, mm-hmm. MAGA winners. And how a lot of their... As one of the best things Olbermann said was their failure in their businesses, they sort of took it out as and that turned that into a failure as a country, which is very interesting.
Yes.
But I was thinking about you.
Yeah.
So I'm driving to Brantford listening to that. Then at the end of the day, I thought, you know, because you're a guy that gets bored with golf after 12 holes. So yeah. This is a 36 hole tournament. We got on the golf course at 9 a.m. They brought lunch out to us. They had a lunch station set up, so we didn't stop, and we didn't get off the golf course till just after 6 o'clock. I thought when I was going to tell you that, you'd be like, "You were on the golf course for 9 hours?" Oh yeah, nine.
Was the weather
straight.
Shitty?
No,
like spitting rain. The whole
not
time?
At all. Not you know no? The first 15 minutes. It ran from the first 15 minutes of the day. Mm. It rained a little bit to the point where we had umbrellas up. That stopped literally after the first hole, and for the next 35, there wasn't any rain at all. In fact, at some point, it got a little bit sunny.
Yeah.
But I just thought, when I told you I played golf for 9 hours, you'd be like, really?
Jesus.
Was there a point when you were getting tired of the whole thing? I asked you this before.
There was a point on the last nine holes where I was definitely feeling not tired of playing, but just sore. You know, like it's a lot of swings in a day.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Like, why? Can I just ask? Why? Like, seriously. Somebody sits down and says, oh, here's a good idea. We'll play 36 holes that day. Like, why?
You know, it's hard to explain. But the people that would be participating...
Well, explain.
The people that would be participating at this level are used to playing 36 holes a day. Trust me.
But why wouldn't they spread it out if it's a tournament? I mean, you're...
Here's why. Great question. That's a great question. Because when a golf course gives up their course, they don't want to do it. Very few courses want tournaments on them because... And if they are, they'd like them, you know, to be 1 or 2 day events because you're giving up the golf course for the day. So yeah, nobody else could play. Say again?
They're paid for it, aren't they?
Yeah, but there was, I think, maybe 100 golfers there yesterday. In a normal day, I don't know, there would be several hundred. So, and it's a private course, so they missed out on their members being able to play that course. So, if they're going to do a 36, they're going to if you're going to do a 36 hole tournament, Dan, to your question, they wouldn't want it to be over 2 days.
So why not just make it 18 like normal people?
There's this is because it's a very competitive. Very competitive tournament. Anyway, listen, we're screwed now because we were going to do emails, and we've run up against the clock, as they say in the business. So we'll do a couple now. Dan, we got news, of course. Larry Fedorik's going to... We couldn't get Larry to come to Kelsey, so he's going to do the show today. It's going to be great. And then after Larry, we'll do some more emails. Then we've got Sherpa today. So it's a very busy program. And Dan Duran, you'll come back hopefully if you don't mind, and you know, do some news, that type of thing. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. In the meantime, Freddie, let's get some work done here, and then we'll set up a couple emails.
Yeah, Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Go to chamberplan.ca today. Get a free quote for your small business. You'll be pleasantly surprised at what it costs. I mean, of course, this is a nonprofit, so they're thinking, hey, we got to make this affordable for small business. And they've been very successful at that and done a great job at holding the line on premiums over the years, which, you know, isn't necessarily easy, but they do it. Okay? And again, you can provide your employees with dental benefits, prescription benefits, and all sorts of therapies. There's a mental health component. There's, physical therapies as well available, depending, again, on the level that you buy. And you'll see as you investigate what's available and at what cost. They have the Teladoc system. They have, like, a real-time mental health component. It's pretty clever. The whole thing, top to bottom. Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan.
And we talked a lot about the event at Kelsey's. Let me get some details for you. Kelsey's is giving away an $11,000 VIP Paddock F1 experience sponsored by Heineken. All you got to do is come to a Kelsey's tonight or anytime. Enjoy a Heineken and scan a table talker for your chance to win. Wing night is every Thursday at Kelsey's. They have half-price wings and $6 Coors Light. Kelsey's is the place to be. Bring your friends and family to the Burlington North location. That's where we're going to be. Happy hour every day, twice a day. 3 to 5 and 8 to close for $5 drinks and $10 appetizers. Plus awesome daily deals. Follow at Kelsey's Roadhouse on Instagram to keep up with all the action. Now, here's what we're going to be doing tonight with the Humble and Fred trivia. We're going to have 5 $50 Kelsey's gift cards, 1 free wings for a year card, Frederick.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Plus everyone. I can't even. On your way out, they're going to be giving you a $10 off $50 coupon for when you come back. So what that is, if you want to come back, and of course you would, you can get a $50 coupon for only $40. And that's about it. Well, by the way, another thing, if you want to donate $5 to the Boys and Girls Club of Canada, just $5 donation will get you 3 free kids' meals. Okay?
However, that coupon, I think, to be clear, is if you spend $50, you get $10 off the bill.
Yes, that's what I mean. If you if you want to buy a 50,
it would cost you $40. You don't have to spend.
Okay. No, it's.
I just wanted to be clear.
No, I think. Okay, well, I don't want to. Because it's on your way out. You can buy a $50. If you buy a $50 coupon, they will give it to you $10 off.
Okay.
It says here, on the way out, we have a $10 off $50 coupon for their next visit.
All right.
Does that not make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So that's it. Tonight at Kelsey's, we're going to start recording at 7 o'clock, and it'll be great. In the end, it'll all work out. And that show that we're recording tonight will be tomorrow's program.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, are we going to go back to 4 days a week starting next week?
It appears that way.
Yeah.
According to the producers, yep.
Yeah, I see it there. All right, well, we're going to have to do it. But it's for only 1 week, because the following week I'm taking another day off, so golf tournament.
Oh, really?
I told you that. I told you on the 7th, right. I have to take another day off. I'm sorry.
7th. That is a Monday.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm perfect. See, then we'll do a 4-day week and then a 3-day week. It'll be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have a conversation at some point about, is 4 days too many? too many days for us? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. We're not getting any younger.
No, we are not.
But
what else are we going to do?
Like, well, exactly. It's different when it's nice out, but it's shitty all the time starting soon.
It's shitty all the time starting soon. Okay. Well, fun.
So why not?
All right. Let's do
get up at this time anyway. Even on the weekend, I get
no,
up this
I know.
Time. Why not just come down here and say stupid stuff?
Like, why not? That's right. It's not like I'm not awake.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do three. Well, we'll get a couple in right now, and then we will continue after Larry Fedora. So here we go with emails.
Okay, subject matter, Humble and Fred Beer on the road. This is from Fred Ball. And of course, he starts at, of course, he can't just be normal. He's got to say, hey, fuckheads.
Hi, guys.
I read this because it's an interesting. It's everybody's worst nightmare. It is mine. and this has never really happened to me, but I've thought about it many times. Anyway, he said, Fred says, we, him and Nancy, made a last-minute decision to take a vacation and drove to Revelstoke, B.C. to see their son, Andrew. Along the way, stopped in Moose Jaw for the night, and he took a picture of our beer in front of the arena, I believe, Howard.
That's there. Right, the Moose Jaw Warriors Arena. Very yeah. cool. Thank you, Freddie.
Anyway, listen to this. He says, the first leg was to Thunder Bay. We were 70 kilometers from Thunder Bay, and the traffic came to a stop, not moving at all, with many drivers out and walking around. That's a bad sign. He says, I asked a truck driver what's going on. He said an accident had the road closed for an investigation. We were 15K from the accident and arrived at the stoppage just before 6:30 p.m., and we did not move again until 3:45 a.m.,
Wow.
A total of 9 hours, 15 minutes sitting on the Trans-Canada. The backup was past 30 kilometers. Unbelievable,
wow.
He writes, motherfucker. We got to the hotel at 4:30. I guess they had pre-booked it, used the bathroom, and left. He said, I paid $300 to have a shit. Anyway, we made it to Revelstoke, and he said, have a great night tonight at Kelsey's. But... like, that has never happened to me, but I've been in some stoppages where people are out of their cars, and it's like, oh, what's this? What is this?
I've been in those stoppages. I remember once going up to Molson Park in Barrie. Is that even there anymore?
By that name, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. But whatever that was, and it was ex-wife Randy and I, and it wasn't 9 hours, but it was people getting out of their cars. Mm-hmm. And I remember Randy had to use the washroom
mm-hmm.
and finally just got out of the car and went down the side and, you know, took a leak outside somewhere.
Well, what can you do?
6:30 p.m. to 3:45 a.m. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just let Larry know we're going to be 1 second here. Just stand by. Stand by. Okay, I'll do one. Thank you, Freddie Ball. And we're going to miss Fred and Nancy, who have been such beautiful supporters of this program. Which one can I do really quickly here that I thought would be... oh, this will be good. This is a good one. From... okay, let me get the sound effects because you can't have this thing. Okay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
This is from our friend Tanya Hutton, who will be there tonight. Subject line, Dan Duran. Of course, she says, Hi, guys. You know, gents, I have two sons, and they are both well aware that I referred to one as the really smart one, and the other is really pretty, and I just hope he marries rich one day. She goes on to say, the longer I listen to you three, your personal assessments aside, meaning you and I realize that in your friend group, Dan Duran is the pretty one. In fact, every 3 to 4 weeks, I become increasingly curious as to how he's managed to stay alive to the age of 66.
Mm-hmm.
Please, never stop discussing anatomy with Dan. It's comedy gold. Cheers, says Tanya. Goddamn right, it's funny. Yeah, like, we all, both of us know and admire the many, many talents that Dan possesses. I mean, the obvious ones, his voice, his ability to project on camera, all that. But of course, his kind heart, his ability to fix things. He just finished doing a dog for Ye Man.
Yeah.
But when
Dan
it comes
is
to
very kind,
but when yeah, I said that. But when it comes to things like how long he's been working with us, or what goes on in his on the insides of him.
Yeah.
It's quite something.
You know, I have to think of being like that. You know, sometimes, you know, ignorance is bliss. And I don't mean ignorant in a bad way, but ignorance is bliss. You know that saying. And being oblivious to things makes life a little easier. Because I'm, sometimes I get a little obsessed with what's going on in the United States because I worry about how it could affect us. And I think, what about that guy over here? There might be a guy over there that doesn't even know what's going on, doesn't even pick up the paper, doesn't look at this stuff. He just comes home, watches a movie and a hockey game, and it's not even part of his world.
Yes, I know.
And then, but what the thing is with Dan, though, see, none of that stuff can really come back to bite you in the ass, obsessing over politics. But when it's your health, It's a different area.
No, I know.
You have to keep pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. I know.
Now, I agree. Sometimes I think I got to take a break from being too aware.
Exactly.
And then just watch, and then just, you know, sit at home like, and watch some dumb movie till I go to bed. I'm playing a lot of Tragically Hip this week. I don't care. Because I've been thinking a lot about the Tragically Hip since that documentary. And anyway, here's our good friend, a man who we were hoping we would see tonight. But apparently there is a story behind the fact that El Fed can't make it. Welcome back to the program. His podcast, of course, Later That Same Life. And as always, a welcome guest on this podcast. Now about to celebrate 13 years of podcasting. Here's Larry Fedorik, everybody.
Wow. Good morning. Congratulations, guys. That's terrific.
It is. We're sad you won't be there in person. We were hoping you'd bring us a nice gift.
Well, I can still send an Amazon gift card.
Oh, yes, you could, actually.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, whatever's in your heart, Larry, do what's ever in your heart. If I'd have known that you were, that would it be too much aggravation or trouble to get there by transit, I would have arranged. We would have arranged. I could have given you a ride.
Well, I couldn't. And plus, all the hotel rooms are booked around there. So it's going to be, you can't get a flight in. It's just.
That's right. It's very busy because of the celebration. But more importantly, Larry had a fall, Fred.
No, I heard this and concerns me. It really does.
If you want to instantly feel old,
have
a fall.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even an old person fall. Even though I'm an old person and I had a fall, it wasn't an old person fall. And it's so, I don't know. That's all I can think about. It's like, I'm just, I have PTSD now from my fall. I can't walk anywhere. I'm like, oh, I gotta, it's ridiculous. A Sunday afternoon, just over a month ago, it's like 4 p.m. It's a beautiful day. It's a sunny day. It's perfect weather. I've got good shoes on, laced up sneakers. I run across the street to the grocery store. I'm running back, cutting through the parking lot, and the parking lot's kind of busy. So I say to myself, well, I'm just going to negotiate this grassy little boulevard here, go to the bike path, and then there's another little piece of grass, and then there's a sidewalk. So fine. So I look down and I step up onto the curb. I managed to do that. And then on my next step, I'm looking left and right at the bike path for any oncoming bike traffic. And my foot catches a tree stump, a little tree stump about the size of the head of a baseball bat around and only about 3 inches high that they never properly removed. Mm-hmm. And it's hidden in the grass. So you can't see it, even if you're looking for it. And I start to go down. And I don't know if you're feeling when you trip.
Mm.
You, for a split second, you think you can save it? I'm going to save this. I'm going to take big, giant running steps. I'm going to look stupid, but I'm not going to fall. And then in split seconds, I'm not going to make it. Oh, no. You know, that kind of like, I'm going down.
So where did you land? No. What parts of your old man body did you land on?
So my right knee hits the pavement on the bike path. Pretty good. And go down sort of to the right. And that part of your brain where your hands are supposed to go out to save you or break the... I don't know what happened. They weren't talking. They weren't communicating. So I kind of hit my knee really hard. And then my right shoulder goes.
Yeah.
And then I remember this distinctly as I say it. It's just so clear in my mind still. On my right side near my cheekbone, my head bounces off the pavement.
Jesus.
And I remember even at that split second thinking, this is not good.
No. Is that, would you have a little contusion on your nose? Is that what that's from? Or that's just where your glasses go? Okay, maybe it's just the light.
It's just, yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of, there's a blood vessel on my eye now, and it's kind of healed on my right side pretty much. But anyway, my head bouncing off, and I come to a stop. And my knuckles at some point had scraped the ground. And so I'm bleeding like knee, shoulder, face, knuckles, lying there. And The one thing was faith in humanity restored, because there was a guy walking his dog, immediately comes up to me and crouches down. It's like, buddy, you all right, man? You all right, man? Buddy. And I remember thinking, going through this, like, okay, how much pain am I in? Not bad. Mm-hmm. I'm conscious. Mm-hmm. Just kind of in shock still, I guess. I don't know. And I finally say to the guy, it's like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm okay, but I'm just going to lie here.
It's just going to take a second. I'm just going to take stock.
I don't know if I want to jump up.
You know? That's right.
Go, hey, I'm okay. Wave to the crowd. So I do. I just lie there for a second, and I'm like, everything feels like nothing broke, but my head bouncing off the pavement. Nobody should have that sensation, man. So I managed to kind of stand up, lean up against a tree there for a second, and the dog walker guy, he goes, hey, don't go anywhere, buddy, don't go anywhere. And he runs into a store and comes back with a big wad of wet paper towels.
Aw.
I know.
First responder. He's a first responder.
Another woman comes up to me and gives me a bottle of water, and another woman stops and goes, you need any? Are you okay? What do you? And I was like, thank you. I don't know. It's so I assess that I'm kind of okay, and I say to the masses, to the crowd, thank you, everyone. I just live over there. I'm going to walk home. And I got the big wad of towels on my face.
Where's
the
groceries, by the way, at this time?
I didn't spill the groceries. I had like three items in a reusable bag, and they didn't spill. I was so proud of myself. Maybe that's what I was saving instead of my face.
That's right. What was your pace? Did you say you were running a bit, or just walking fast, or just normal walking?
A good walking pace. And I actually, when I stepped onto the grassy boulevard, I actually stopped for a second because I was looking left and right to see if bicycles were coming. And then I took that next step, and that's when the foot caught the tree stump, and I go down. So, anyway, as I'm walking away, a woman goes, well, at least take some pictures and call the city. Get some money out of this, at least.
Yeah.
Which planted the seed that I should do that. So I got home and took some selfies and kind of assessed my injuries and monitored myself for, like, sleepiness or dizziness or anything. I was fine. And wrapped, bandaged up. I bathed in polysporin, you know, basically. And and then I was kind of okay. And Tuesday I went to a clinic and I got all the assessments down on paper with a doctor, you know. And I decided, it's like, okay, time to call the lawyer from TV. I'm going to do this now. What the hell?
Really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I called the lawyer from TV, and it's like, is this where you don't get paid till I get paid and I get a free assessment?
That's right.
And they're like, yeah. All right. So here's what happened. And she listens, you know, and says, we only do catastrophic injury. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, like loss of life or loss of limb. You didn't have that, right? I go, oh, my knee really hurts.
That's right. My shoulder's got a scrapey.
I got a thing. And she goes, oh, it's catastrophic. What you want is small claims. Personal injury. So I'm learning all this, how you have 10 days to report it to the city. If it's private property, you have, I think, 60 days, but, and don't quote me on this, I'm not a lawyer, but I think, and city property, you got 10 days to report it. So I report it to 311, and I get a file number, and then I get I get another lawyer, and they said, no, we're not going to take the case, but you can do it yourself. You just have to fill out a form. So now I have an insurance adjuster, and it's in the process. I don't know. So I don't want $1 million.
What do you want?
No, and let's delve into the thing is, what did you trip on? Because I've heard of this before. If it's negligence by the city, but you know, a root growing out of the ground isn't necessarily negligence, you know what I mean? That's natural. Yeah. But was the root all, like, sticking out of the sidewalk or something? Or
no, it was in the grass. It was about to, it was
tough, they, case.
Yeah, it's tough. I can tell you, I had a claim. I've got a claim at this condo I'm in against the city for negligence, where a water main burst and flooded 14 units. And they are, it's a process, man. They are not set up to dish out money. But I am curious what it is. You're not looking for $1 million. What are you looking for, Mr. Fedora?
Yeah. Well, they ask you without prejudice on one of the forms, the mini forms you have to fill in, and they say without prejudice, what is the dollar amount you are seeking? And I'm like, so what should I do? Should I go like $150,000? Should I go big? Or, and then I found, so I bled on a couple of items at home. My bandages leaked and stuff. Yeah. So I got to, that's not going to come out. I got to replace that. That's going to be a grand for this bedding and this and this. And then I found a formula for pain and suffering that's used by insurance agencies for, and it's like $50 an hour or something times. And I estimated that I was like, not on a commission, but really hurting for a couple of weeks, and sort of came up with around $15,000 number.
I like it.
So I'm putting that in, and it's still the process, because everything is, as you know how it is, process, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, although I have a great, you know, a very cooperative insurance adjuster, and it's a tree stump that there was a bunch of saplings they planted, and some didn't make it, so they cut them down, but they didn't remove the stumps.
Mm.
Well, there's a gray area. But
yeah, so
usually the natural stuff.
So, have you got any in terms of advice as to how long this might take?
I don't know, because right now, what you have to do, this is interesting to me, is I go to a clinic and I get a really good clinic and a really good doctor. So that was kind of nice, because, you know, with just a walk-in clinic, you expect the worst, and they were the best people ever. So that was nice. So I need my medical records for an insurance claim. Okay, here's the portal. Here's online. Here's where you go apply. And I'm like, I'm standing right here. You've seen my health card. You've seen my driver's license. It's me, Larry. You know it's me.
Right.
Can't you just have, you have a printer right there. You have my email. No, you have to go online. And I don't know. I did that 2 weeks ago, and I still, I don't know how long that takes.
Well, listen, I'm happy you didn't get hurt catastrophically. And as far as old guy falls go, you know, you didn't break your hip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, and seriously, you didn't, you could have torn your ACL. You could have dislocated your shoulder. As a physician myself, you know, there's a litany of things that could have gone wrong. You could have gotten a concussion. You know, when you bounce your head off the ground,
you know,
there's all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, yes, your injuries might only be worth $15,000, but that's, you know, that's not nothing. It's not nothing.
I have thought of that, in that I didn't, because I got x-rays done and all that. I didn't break anything, including, you know, you could easily break orbital up here in the face.
Yes.
All those x-rays, everything's fine. So I thought, okay, old guy falls down on a sunny day, but didn't break anything, didn't get a concussion, healed fairly quickly, and wasn't really out of commission for any great amount of time. So maybe that's a positive sign.
Listen, you know what the most old guy thing about this is, though? It's all the time you have to fuck around with this.
That's right.
Oh, I was going to say that. Talk show host Larry from years gone by, where would you have got this talk?
That's right. This is the only, this only a retired guy could put this kind of effort into this undertaking.
But, well, you know, on the form it says, how much work did you miss?
Well, I do a podcast once a week on nicknames.
It is, at our age, though, it is scary. And, you know, that's sort of an inadvertent thing where it's sort of an accident.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I stop myself with so many things now. Like, do I want to go up on that ladder? Do I want to ride this bike? Because I'm so afraid of hurting myself.
Yeah.
Even last week, Dan Duran was working on our buddy Darren's dock. And at one point, I was helping him carry lumber. And he wanted me to carry out onto this platform that had no floor. It was all these joists and everything. And I put the board down. I said, no, Dan, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I'd like to help you, but I am not doing that.
No, I know.
Because I could have seen myself going ass over tea kettle for what, you know?
You know, I started snowboarding in my mid-40s, and I did it up until my mid-50s. And I remember, it was actually with our friend Fred Ball, who we were talking about earlier. I was up with Ball, and we were doing some spring skiing or boarding. And I remember that was my last time, because when I fell, when I was probably 54 or 55 at the time. I fell so hard, and somebody came up to me and went, "Are you?" I was laying there just like you. They said, "Are you okay?" And I went, "No, I don't think I am." because I just didn't want to hurt myself like that again. A couple weeks ago, I turn off the lights on my way upstairs, and I have an island between the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen, and walked into it with my left hip. That was two and a half weeks ago. It still hurts. That's the difference. Yeah. You know, 10 years ago, I would have been like, I walked into something. I'm fine now.
But as far as like riding bikes or doing stuff maybe you shouldn't do at our age, I mean, you could easily get an injury that you could die with. You know what I mean? That just nagging and chronic and...
No, but that's an interesting...
You could do that with an accident, too, I know.
But that's an interesting distinction.
Yeah.
Not die from, die with.
Oh, yeah.
That you could have, like, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes, you know, what you could have done something to your shoulder that you would be... It would be one of those things. You always had that thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when we were younger, it would come and go. Now, sometimes those things come and they just stay.
That's right. Yeah. It's very much so.
Well, although, I'm glad you're all right.
Thanks, man. The insurance adjuster, said, send me a picture of the tree stump, which I took the next day. I went back the next day. And then send me a picture of the shoes you were wearing. I'm like, you want a picture of the injury or anything? He's like, no, just the shoes you were wearing. Because, like, you know, I'm cruising along in flip-flops, allegedly. And it's like, but no, I had good laced-up shoes, sneakers. And so he goes, I'm going to have to show up one day and take the picture of a stump myself as well. So
that's great.
And I'm like, well, you've got my number. Call me because you'll never find it. And sure enough, about 3 days later, the phone rings, and it's the guy. It's the insurance adjuster. And he's like, yeah, I'm across the street, man. I can't find this thing.
Where's your stump?
Aha. Aha.
Again, so you had to go out and show him the stump.
What's that? What?
You had to go out and show him the stump?
I was going to actually go across the street, and then I thought, well, I had to fake a limp. And so that's I'm going to just describe, are you near the fire hydrant? Okay, go the other way. And I did that thing and described, and he found it, and he goes, wow, this is really hard to find. And I'm like, okay, there you go. Maybe that works in my favor.
You know, what I'm laughing at, too, I don't know about you, Freddie, but it's like somewhere there's a guy who's got a file, says Larry Fedoric, and then, you know, on his agenda that day, go stump recon.
Yeah. Or not, even the picture of the shoes, you could just bullshit. You know what I mean? Even if you were wearing flip flops, right? You could just.
Well, I guess,
You're an honest man.
The picture of my leg that I took when I got home with the bleeding knee and everything, because the knee really took the brunt of it. It really looked bad. Yuck. Mm. But anyway, there's the shoe at the end of it.
I'm the same as Patterson. As soon as you said flip, I thought, well, you know, this is where insurance fraud, this is where it comes from. People that try and finagle the truth to to get more money out of an accident.
Everybody's against insurance fraud until there's an opportunity.
Well, and then on that day, I was due for a shower and a shave, but I thought, well, I'll go across the street first, come back, and then I'll have a nice long shower, make some food. And so the picture of my face is an old man with white stubble on his face and blood running down his dry. It's like Steve Buscemi in Fargo. You should see the other guy. Which is the story I would say. People say, hey, what happened? And I would go, you should see the other guy. That was my line because I didn't want to admit I tripped and fell in the street.
Well, you know, it's coming for all of us, Lawrence. It's coming for everybody. This balance thing is no joke. That one of the things that contributes to aging, one of the main ones, is when people can no longer balance themselves. You see these things online where they talk about, can you still stand up from sitting? And I just think it's funny, the three of us, can you imagine this conversation 20 years ago? You know, I am not standing up the way I used to. But it's true that balance and keeping your body fit enough to have it is a big preventer of not that you didn't have or don't have balance, but
is it about the core?
Well, it's about everything, you know.
Sure it is.
You know, and I think even the stuff that I do for golf is I went from concentrating on strength to concentrating on flexibility. And by being more flexible, it has strengthened my core. Anyway, Larry,
even at my house here, like the stairs going upstairs, coming down now, not so much up, it just feels different than it used to a few years ago. For whatever reason, what you just described, Howard, as far as balance goes, things change. They do.
Nate Bargatze does a joke about his parents finally moving into a house that has no steps whatsoever, and they're looking for a house where they can always walk downward.
Yeah. By the way, I'm a huge fan of his.
Isn't he amazing?
I am. You know, I have liked him for a long time, and I had tickets to see him. My daughter bought them for me for Hanukkah and Christmas, and we neither of us could make it. But yeah, there's a guy I would love to see. Hey, listen, everybody, Larry's podcast is called Later That Same Life, and it's just these kind of things. It's stories about real life. His latest episode is about nicknames, and it comes out, I don't know when it comes out.
Well, new ones come out on Thursday mornings, and they pop also Wednesday night on my YouTube channel for all the members get early access to the next episode. Nicknames is already up there if you want to give it a listen.
Okay, well, I thought we would get to nicknames, but I think we explored all that we needed to with Larry Fedoruk, and I've been playing a lot of hip stuff this week because of the. You've seen the hip documentary yet?
I have not. I have not heard about it at TIFF, and I was like, it's on my list.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's wonderful. It's just wonderful.
You know what it will do? It'll kill some of those old guy hours that we have. You know, we're just kind of like middle of the afternoon going, what should I do? I guess I could watch.
I need something to watch.
I guess I could watch 4 hours of the hip documentary. Thanks, my friend Larry Fedoruk, everybody.
Thank you. Have a great night. Tomorrow. Congratulations again, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Gonna miss you tomorrow. Good boy. Bye. Let me tell you about a company called Boron One, Fred. Let me tell you, the news is happening. Go to boronone.com. Just go latest news. Boron One announces, this was September 10th, first closing of financing. I mean, there's just stuff going there all the time. Because it's a company that is endeavoring to do what very few junior mining companies can do or ever get to, is take a mineral out of the ground. This time it's boron. That's why they call them Boron One. Of course, Freddie and I make no claims about stocks, but because we're nitwits, but we can tell you these guys support us. Have a look at them, see what you think. Go and find out more about this company. Go find out more about Boron and what it's in everything. The website is boronone.com, Fred.
Hey, Thursday Night Football this week. It's the struggling Dallas Cowboys. Love that. Don't like the Dallas Cowboys. Never have. They're my Montreal Canadiens of the NFL. They are favored Thursday night. That's tomorrow night. Playing the Giants, a sad, sad football team. Anyway, Cowboys minus 240 on the money line, a 5.5-point pick. I get these numbers from Bodog, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, or a casino player. Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. That is Bodog.
Have I seen you since we watched the Bills on Monday night? I guess not.
No.
That was a crazy game, man. That Josh Allen, he's got... got a lot going on.
Yeah, I think they're playing Baltimore this week. This will be a test. They're 3-0 right now, but Baltimore will be a test. I believe the game's in Baltimore, although the Ravens haven't played as well as people expected so far, so looking forward to that.
And I'm, you know, when the game started and I saw that, who are they playing again? Tampa Bay? No,
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. When I saw that Jacksonville was, the Bills are 2-0, Jacksonville was 0-2, and I thought, oh, this isn't great, because, you know, the Jacksonville is going to be really hyped up to want to win, because they haven't won yet. This might be one of those games that Buffalo loses, and then Buffalo scored immediately. In fact, scored, I think, was it 5 plays in a row?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I would have
five possessions
in a row they scored, and Josh Allen was just ridiculous. So that game was quickly over. But I would think the same thing. At some point, they have to lose a game. Or do they?
Of course.
Or do they?
Well, yeah.
Why do they have to?
Well, history dictates, yes.
I know.
There's only been one team in the history of the league that's gone undefeated.
Who? Let me think. Let me see if I could guess.
Well, actually, two regular season.
One was only one
that went all the way.
One was New England.
Yes, but they lost the
Super Bowl. Lost the Super Bowl. And who was the one that went undefeated and won the Super Bowl?
72 Dolphins.
Okay. Mm. Was that Don Shula's team?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Listen.
Zonka, Kick Warfield.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about a great team.
Bob Greasy.
Mm. Let me tell you about a great team that we have access to, the retirement Sherpa team.
Right on. I love this man.
The retirement Sherpa, that's a team that there's, do you want to talk about an undefeated team? The Sherpa is undefeated. I would like to say the same thing for his college team, but we don't talk about that right now. You know, I don't want to bring up unpleasantness.
I'm not sure if the season started yet. I don't know what you're talking about. Good morning, there, boys.
Here he is, Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca. We were just talking about Buffalo on a heater, as the kids like to say, three games in a row. And the last game I watched, I was texting with Fred, and we were all excited about how good Josh Allen is playing. I know you have a college team that you support. I can't remember the name of them. But what's your NFL team?
The Bills, definitely, and then the Buccaneers from the Florida Connection as well. Mm-hmm. My little NFL story is I fell down, went boom, metaphorically, in a survivor pool. I picked five teams, and I'm gone after 3 weeks of the NFL season.
Wow.
Well, I was out after 2 weeks. The second week, I was out. But, I mean, in the NFL this year, the upsets, the teams that have won that shouldn't have, It's staggering, especially not this past week. The week before, it was crazy.
How did the Cincinnati game handle? And I know the Bengals were behind during the because they were playing during the Bills game, and I kept seeing the score, but they were losing.
Yeah, they lost, I believe.
Yeah, the Commanders beat them. So Cincinnati's an example. Week one, they were the most favored team in the survivor pool. And I think it's happened every week. The most favored team has gone down in flames. So that creates a lot of turmoil in there. I'm much better picking investments, thankfully.
Excuse my ignorance. What is a survivor pool?
Well, Oh, go ahead, Tim.
Oh, no worries. So you get to pick one team every week. You can't use the same team twice throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And if they win, you're still moving on. And if they lose, you're waiting until next year.
But the key to it is, Howard, once you pick a team, you cannot pick them again. So each week, your selection is less, so to speak.
Well, you are right. I mean, listen, maybe when it comes to picking the NFL teams for a survivor pool, this isn't your guy. But when it comes to picking investments, as you just said, it's nothing. It's all about survival. And where shall we start this week, young man?
Well, quickly, I'll just mention a plaudit I got this week. I was with a long-term client on Monday, and he's been in wives, actually, clients for over 30 years and somebody used to work with, and I just got a super nice note, thanks for managing our wealth over the years. And you know, there's been life changes and spouse changes and kid changes and job changes and moving and so, you know, looking back over those decades, there's been a heck of a lot of things that changed, but thankfully we've been together and still are, and he's a happy client.
Well, isn't that nice? That's wonderful.
Yeah, it feels good to get that stuff, right? That's part of the gig that's the best part. Now, the nuts and bolts matter, for sure. So today, I just wanted to mention about taxation. You know, too often in life, certainly in finances, we worry about things we can't control, like maybe a certain election down in the States or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with taxes, we know exactly how they work. Maybe we wish they were different sometimes in certain ways, but we know exactly how we work, how it works, yet far too often, you know, investors and even advisors don't really shape the investments in alignment with the tax laws.
Yeah, so again, that just adds to the strategy, and you know, someone in your position, right, you have to figure it all out.
And frankly, it's not that complicated, Fred, mm-hmm. but you got to pay attention to mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked in the past about the power of compounding over time. If you make 1% more, that makes an incredible difference over time. Doesn't seem too short term, yes. but I mean, people can be costing themselves a heck of a lot more than 1% if they don't have their tax ducks in a proverbial row, right? You definitely want to get every there. You know, I mentioned in the notes there, it's basically their gimmies, you know, mm-hmm. as us golfer types would say. They're just little short things you should be able to put into the cup, mm-hmm. no problem. But a lot of people, again, don't pay attention to
and,
it.
And also, I think, we've had you on the program as a friend and a sponsor and a contributor to the content for a long time. And again, it's good to remind people that part of what the Sherpa team does in terms of investing for you is also to counsel some of the best ways to, you know, keep more money through better taxation planning.
Yeah, it's vital, right? We got people coming in tomorrow. Again, geez, they're probably 30-year clients as well. You know, he's just about to retire and turning 71 and having to do RIFs. And now, arguably, it's more important on the way up before you get to that stage, how you structured everything, how mm-hmm. much you got in TFSAs, have you used insurance to create wealth, any number of other parts. But yeah, you got to build the house properly, so to speak, to get your income out properly.
Well, that's another thing people don't often talk about. We've had conversations about, you know, like, yeah, it's great, you have all these investments, but there's a strategy and you need to be strategic about how you get to, how and when you start taking them out.
Right. So TFSA is an example of that. You know, from a taxation point of view, there's no tax to it. That's the TF in the tax-free part.
Right.
But a lot of people will have interest-bearing things in there, which to some degree makes sense because interest would attract tax. But if this is the one that's going to attract the least amount of tax of all your investments, you probably want, all things being equal, you probably want your best growth potential in there. Because mm-hmm. if 10 grand grows to 15 grand, okay, you saved some money. But if 10 grand grows to 25 grand, you definitely want that part to be tax-free. You don't want to be paying anything on it. You probably mm-hmm. want your interest-bearing items in an RSP instead, as an example.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've often thought a great idea for the government, especially for someone as us, you know, approaching our senior years and going to be taking our money out. I think the government should say, you know what, here's what we're going to do now. We gave you the tax break going up. Coming out, there's just a 10% flat tax. That's it. That's all you have to pay as a senior because we want you to have good senior years.
Mm-hmm.
Just 10% flat
tax. That's right, 10%.
Wouldn't you love to
10%
see
10% for seniors.
Yeah, 10%.
That's
I'd run on that. Run on
exactly. That's what.
Maybe
that's
let Jagmeet know about that platform.
Exactly. That's, you want to talk about that. You want to talk about a non-confidence vote. You know what I like? Well, there's so many things to like about the experience, but it all begins with a conversation. And another listen. If you're not with the Sherpa, that's on you. But the Sherpa, the team, Jay, and everybody would be happy to have a look at what's going on with your portfolio and, you know, maybe suggest some things that might be better for you. As always, tim.niblett@raymondjames.ca.
Thanks, so Timmy. Just in closing, have fun tonight there. It's about 12 minutes walk from my place, but I won't be able to make it. I don't think we've got a celebration of life for my father-in-law today, so that's mildly higher than humble and
I get it. I think there's a rumor that Sherpa Jay may be making the scene as well, so there'll be some representation.
Yeah. Okay. Tim, just promise that Howard and I, you'll come to our celebration of lives, okay?
I promise. That'll be first priority that day.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Timmy.
Enjoy, boys. Have a great day.
I hope I didn't speak out of school there. I don't know what I thought I saw Jay is going to be there. Thanks, Timmy. It says, blah, 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 Jay. I do appreciate listening back. I'm on this show. This is Howard friend Tim. Thanks, Timmy.
Well, he lives in that way, does he not?
I don't know, man. I think I saw that somewhere. I don't know. I could be wrong. You know, I'm old. By the way, I love what you said, you know, as we are entering our...
Jay says he's there tonight, according to our producer.
Okay, well, that's perfect. That's all I need to know. When you said, for guys like us entering our senior years, I'm like, we are in it, man. We are in it. You meant entering the years where you have to start taking... Because you can only have RRSPs in Canada until age 71. They have to convert them and start using them.
Yeah. RIFs, yeah.
And fuck... Fucking, you know, that's...
And, you know, even that can cause problems at certain levels. But anyway.
Think about... And I, what you said about being only taxed 10%. Think about all the years we paid taxes. You know, yeah. I've had a job... You know, I had a couple jobs as a kid. I worked at a golf course. So, yes, I made money, but never made enough to pay taxes. I had a job at Wilco. There used to be a company in Canada called Wilco. And I never made it. I was like 15, 16, 17, before 17. And but I started paying taxes for real when I was 17 years old. And at 71, you don't think all those years of us being taxed that we could get a senior tax break?
Well, I'm kidding when I say that, but, you know, they worry about CPP and they worry about the welfare of seniors and medical costs and everything. Why not do it that way? Rather than taking it in, why not, you know, just give you a break instead? And I mean, reduce tax rates for seniors.
Absolutely. Because
the way it's all structured, you're taxed like it's a job. Whatever you take out, it's like it's a job.
Right.
So, reduce that.
And it's money that you put away after paying taxes on it. And hopefully you get someone like Tim, your money grows. So you're now taxed on the fact that you made the money. The money grew. Now you're taxed on that. And then when you take it out, when you have no income, theoretically, well, that's the whole thing. Is there, you know, they're saying, well, you'll have no income, so you won't be taxed as much, but you're still taxed on money you were already taxed on. I'm getting behind this, by the way. You can tell.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you have RSPs, their argument is you got the tax break going in, and now you're getting the tax breaks actually better going out because you're making less. But again, it's, you know, they need to give seniors. And I'm not just saying that.
Seniors. Yeah.
They've got to give seniors a better tax deal.
Tax breaks for seniors. Oh, you know, because I'll tell you what, if they don't, more and more you're going to see seniors, yes, it happens, avoiding paying taxes. Just go, you know, taking their money out of the country, maybe to Mexico, putting it in the bank and saying, come and get me, fuckers. That's going to be it. Come and get me.
If you don't have enough, dog food sales will skyrocket.
Oh, yeah.
And dog food, yeah.
One thing I will say, I have been feeding Stan, the dog. I have now augmented his dry kibble with a third of a can of wet dog food every day because he's old and I think he deserves it and it's he loves it. But I can tell you one thing. I could not see eating it. Every time I spoon it out, that it's just gross.
No, I know.
I mean,
when I was a kid, we used to feed our dog Barney. It was called Romar 90. And it literally, you open the can and it smelled like poop.
Yeah. Well, this...
It actually did, yeah.
This doesn't smell like poo, but it's just gross.
Yeah.
Dan is frozen now, looking... Dan's back, but he's frozen. It's interesting.
We were talking about taxes. We need to talk about something he can relate to.
He's gone. I was... You got when I said, you know, there are some seniors that will avoid paying taxes altogether. Oh, funny. It's a little Humble and Fred funny for us. Oh, yeah, he's just gone. He's the one talking about it. I don't know what we should do about... Oh, here he comes. Do you want to do a couple more emails? Well, you know what we could do? We could save them. Like, we're not going to do emails tonight, are we?
Oh, no, no.
No. So we're not going to do them tonight.
I will say, over the past week, the reaction to Brad Jones from the funeral home and Dr. Nam.
Yeah.
The reaction was fantastic.
Yeah, people very
love
good.
Love those segments. So informative, you know.
So I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to be back Monday with a regular show, and we've got lots of time we'll spend with some emails there, because I think we should acknowledge bunch of people that have sent us notes, and of course we have to come up with a new Zoom theater. How about who did we read? Who did you read already this morning? Fred Ball.
Richard Bullis. Richard Bullis.
No, I know. I'm talking about who we read one email.
Oh, all right.
Fred Ball.
What was the email I read? Oh, from, we've already done Tanya Hutton.
Tanya. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what we'll do tonight? Why don't we do this? Tonight we'll pick somebody from the audience, Dan.
Right.
Right. And we will award them Zoom theater status. Okay?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be an email. It can just be somebody from the audience.
That's what I just said. Somebody at the Kelsey's thing, yeah.
Yeah.
No, a quick example, though, of how Humble and Fred Humble and Fred podcast works. This one is just called Funeral Dude, and it says, "Hi, guys. Loved Brad's honesty. He's the real deal. You can tell he's seen a lot. Such an amazing, understanding person. He's got my business. I'm old. Really old." And this was from a guy like Christopher Welch. Like, he loved the Brad Jones segment. Yeah. And a couple other people said to us, like, when they heard that, I was like, "How? What are they going to do with this?" And we gave an example. And, I mean, we've just scratched the surface with that guy.
So, yeah, we'll do that. Thank you, Christopher Welch, for that feedback. I've sent that to our client and already received something from Brad saying, looking forward to the next one. Great feedback. So, tonight we will... What?
I was just thinking the other day, I was talking to Delisa about this guy. And I said, what's that going to be like, though, when I'm on my way out and you're going, "It's okay, Freddie, just let go. You can go. It's your time. Go, Freddie. Let go. Yeah. Don't fight it, pal. Don't fight it." And she said, "Stop saying that." It really agitated her. But it was a little moment.
Yeah, the thing is, she pretends to be agitated, but, you know, in reality, she was like, "Oh, fuck, finally. Finally. Yeah.
Here, Freddie, let me put this pillow over your face."
That's right. "This pillow will make you more comfortable." I can't remember if this came up.
Cubes in your mouth. Okay.
I can't remember if this came up on the show, but I was telling my new friend about this game I used to play with my kids. Let me talk about this, I told you that when I would have a nap in the afternoons and I had the kids with me and I wanted to sort of drift off while they were playing, and we used to play this game called Daddy's on His Deathbed. It's a fun little game for children. And they would come over and I'd say, "Charlie, is that you?" "Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. It's okay. It's honey. Daddy's on his deathbed. He needs to just close his eyes." Okay, so that's Christopher Welch, but we will pick somebody tonight. And they will become the new Zoom Theater recipient, and they will hear them. They will hear Dan Duran, the great Dan Duran, mention them as we close the program tonight. So we'll just go with Richard Bullis. But we still we still have the Dan Duran news, though. Let's not get carried away.
Right, we do. It's ready to go.
Dan Duran news today, brought to you by Bodog.
For my last email, we are on board.
Looking for a fast break from working so hard? When you're ready to box out some time for fun, you know it's time to play. It's easy to find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. We make getting the latest basketball odds and free sports tips a slam dunk. Visit Bodog.net today. Hashtag make a play.
No.
No. Here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low.
Ho!
Dan Duran, the anchor man comes, as fast for credentials he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from his fancy pants trailer.
Oh, look, it's so well appointed, with a big TV and such.
I bet it even has air conditioning.
Oh, yes, it does.
It does.
And now it's
right up there.
Befitting. It's the kind of accommodations that befits a movie anchorman of his stature. With news and views, here's Dan Duran.
70s UK rock band Uriah Heep announced their farewell tour. Alex Jones' InfoWars will be auctioned off in the fall to pay for his Sandy Hook victims. And Pierre Polyev is so pissed at CTV that conservatives will no longer do interviews with Bell-affiliated media. But let's talk about exploding trees.
Yes.
In Denmark. In Denmark, in public parks, when dangerous trees threaten park goers, they blow them up with dynamite. So instead of chainsaws, they go this route because a stick of dynamite is more natural. It's just like a lightning strike. So insects and birds and bats and things can use what was left of the tree for a cycle of life stuff. And the park goers don't have to look at the chainsaw scar in a big tree. They can just see, you know, fractured wood and, oh, that's interesting. And so there you go. Remember, just like organic foods, dynamite is more natural.
Hmm. Wow. That is fascinating.
Cheers. I'd like to be there. Nothing like watching stuff blow up.
Yeah, you do.
Just follow those park workers around for a while.
This age, I like to be anywhere.
That's right. Just show up someplace. Dan, do you have new covers on your headphones? Like, there's a...
Like, yeah, they are new about 6 months ago. Okay. Yeah. 5 months ago. Yeah. Thanks for noticing.
I just noticed that you have a blue tinge to your headphones. Are you going to be bringing those headphones tonight?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I had the choice of black or this lovely blue teal color.
Okay. Well, it's very nice. You know, Freddie, are you going to wear headphones tonight? Or are you going to wear? I think you should.
What? What?
What? What? What?
Wear headphones.
Why should I? I can't wear what I'm wearing now.
I can't remember what you wore at Christmas time. I thought we were all wearing headphones so that we can actually, because of the outside noise. Listen,
point. Maybe I will. Yeah. Yes, I got them.
See how quickly he gets so fucking cranky. Yeah. Hey, Fred, you should wear headphones. What?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't go, whoa. I went, what?
Constantly on defense.
It was more inquisitive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I should know your tones better by now. What?
Yeah,
what?
You should. It was more like inquisitive.
Oh,
like,
my mistake. My mistake.
Get to know me, buddy.
I should. I really should be able to decipher your the signs. What? What? Because I thought it was a cranky what-what, but it was more of an inquisitive what-what. Okay.
Day-to-day, these things, I like because my ears get hot, eh?
No, I know. And God forbid.
You get hot ears?
Yeah. Oh,
seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I wear those things, yeah. Like it
really?
Just, yeah. Oh, I like this better. Okay.
Dan, the man's ears get warm.
Mm-hmm. I get it now, but I never experienced that problem.
Well, we worked together at a radio station where you wore these headphones for years. Little did I know you were on your way home with wet wipes, cooling down your earlobes.
But I always wore it. I just wore it on one side, too. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I have experimented with that sometimes during, like, I have the one ear off just because I can hear you, too, just fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know why.
Do you want new ear pads, colored ones like I have?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine with black. No, I appreciate that. I still have your Christmas present in a bag behind me.
Yeah, I know. You're very appreciative of it.
I am appreciative of it.
Nice. Well, no, yeah, it's the thought that counts,
it
right?
Is.
So
he'll use it eventually.
So tonight, our beer's available. We've covered that. Humble and Fred trivia, live Q&A, Bill Brio, Ralph Ben-Murgy. We're going to have some other people that we will be talking to. And again, if you're coming and you have some questions you've always wanted to ask, by all means. And great food, by the way. The other thing I didn't mention is what kind of food there's going to be. We mentioned the pricing, but there's going to be lots of food for our audience. Kind of wings and dishes. I don't have it in front of me right now, but good
finger
food.
Finger foodie thing,
exactly. And of course, you can also order off the Kelsey's menu. Lots of great things to eat.
I recommend, again, that chicken sandwich. The buffalo chicken sandwich I had a couple of weeks ago was outstanding. It really was. I still think about it.
Yeah, do you?
Well, are you going to stay till the end of the podcast? Or
I won't. I'll have to. Yeah. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there at 5 for the load in, as we roadies say.
Yeah.
But I'll be leaving before the end of the podcast because, you know, I can't. Yeah. I just can't be. I can't be around people. At the 47-minute mark, I'll be gone.
And just so the peoples know, tonight's show will be tomorrow morning's. So the Thursday show will be tonight's broadcast, live broadcast.
Are we, speaking of that, will we be going live on Facebook tonight?
I think that's a call of the place.
Well, because, and I say, let me answer my own question. The answer is no, because because everyone's laptops will be, like our cameras will be in different positions. So there will be no live broadcast tonight.
Right.
Because it would just look dumb. We would be looking, because I won't be looking into my computer the way I'm looking into these cameras now.
Yeah. Well, I could put I've got a webcam here. I could put that on a stick and then, you know.
What stick is that, Dan?
That would be a tripod.
Oh. Is that what you do in your bedtimes?
Is it Bluetooth?
Okay. Yeah. No. Not this one.
Because it would be good to have it sort of at the back and showing the crowd and the stage. Yeah. At the front, you know what I'm saying? That would be cool.
Right.
You know, this whole show has gone by, and there's really been no acknowledgement of, well, you did say that. No, I take it back. Earlier in the show, you said that Dan would be, there was a chance Dan would be in the woman's washroom, so showing off his luggage.
Yeah.
Yes. So been a showing. A Dan Duran showing.
But somebody, Keith Weiland, not somebody, a very important somebody, Keith Weiland, has sent in another song, Dan, as a suggestion for your theme song. Would you be interested in hearing that?
Okay.
All right.
Then. Here we go. I can't.
Here
wait.
We go.
Numb, I can hardly walk from his horse cock.
Horse cock.
Yeah, his horse cock.
There's a little track called Horse Cock here at Edge 102 for our producer, Dan Duran.
Yeah.
There you go.
Didn't we get another song sent this week called something like I Like It in the Pooper?
Yeah, I played that yesterday or 2 days ago.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I did.
Did we play that? Oh, I did, okay. Yeah. Jeez. Oh, okay.
Yeah, got it. We played that.
That was Monday. Yeah. That's 48 hours. Give me a break.
That's right.
when you have a short-term memory like that, everything's new again, isn't
everything
it?
Everything is new. Well, thank you very much to Larry Fedoric, Tim Niblett, and all of you who have been paying attention to this program. We will be happy to see you guys all tonight and look forward to you all who won't be there to hear the broadcast tomorrow.
This episode of Humble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, our returning sponsor, Kelsey's Original Roadhouse, and our newest sponsor, Ridley Funeral Home. For contests and comments, we read all of the emails, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. Tell us what you think. Maybe you'll hear your comments on Monday, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. And here's something you can do to help us out. Subscribe to the podcast. Maybe share an episode with one of your close friends. Rating the podcast would help as well. For Humble and Fred from the Richard Bullis Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, love to see you tonight, but even if you can't go tonight, we'll be there for you tomorrow. And enjoy every goddamn day. Where's that?